really don't truly understand God's nature truly, because that's we think of him in human terms, right? And that's why sometimes we get frustrated, because he told us his ways are not our ways, not my ways. Because, you know, if it was me, there's a whole bunch of things I would do differently. But God's ways are not like us, and he sees further than we can see. Sometimes we get so impatient. You know, I can use this example with the job. My preference would have been to get a job within a month. You know, then I could have two incomes coming in for a little bit. But that was not God's plan. He knew what I needed. I knew what I wanted, but he knew what I needed. He knows what you need. And whatever you're going through, it is to build your character, your Christian character, to let you know he can take you through this trial and this tribulations. But what I want to talk about this morning is the nature of God. And what Paul is telling in Romans is that his nature is revealed even just by what he has created. Let's read it. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, that may not make sense, but I'm going to break that down. What it's saying is that there are people who, in their heart, know there is a God. They know what they're supposed to be doing, you know, but they don't want to actually do it. Verse 19 gives the reason why. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." What does it mean, the invisible things are clearly seen? Well, it shows his power in the very fact of nature. When you look at a rose, when you look at a newborn baby, anyone been at the birth of a baby? Well, all you mothers certainly have been at the birth of your children, but it's an amazing thing. You know, when you look at all the millions of people around the world, and every single one, except for the cesarean ones, came the same way, it looks almost impossible. But that's what it's speaking when it says the invisible things. God's love, you can't see it, but that's what God is. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that he has made." Amen. "Even his eternal power and Godhead," which is what we're talking about, "so that they are without excuse." The Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. "Day unto day uttereth speech," and there is no language where that's not heard. As I said, if you ever were to go out into the desert, if you ever get a chance to go far from a city at night on a cloudless night and just look up at the stars, it's amazing. It's breathtaking. Most of the time when we go out at night, we can't really see it but a few bright stars. But if you were to ever go, have the opportunity to go way out in the country, I mean way, way out. I had the opportunity, as I said, some years ago to go to the Arizona desert in Arizona. And I told them, pull over the vehicle. It was in the middle of the desert. We were about 4 hours outside of Phoenix, way out in the middle on our way to the Grand Canyon, I think. And it was night, and I said, pull over, I got to go out and look. And I just made them pull over, and I went out, and I just stared up at the sky. And that psalm came back to me, "The heavens declare." What it's saying is that in every society, human society, there has been a need to worship something. Even without a Bible, there have been a need in human beings to worship something. They've always worshiped something. And that's what this is saying. "Being understood that there is a supernatural by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Let me read some more. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding." What I'm trying to say is we will never be able to work out all of God's plans, because we are not like God. We are not God. That's where trust comes in. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when you can't see it, when what God is doing doesn't feel good, that's where you have to trust. Because it says, we cannot understand, is no searching of his understanding. Now, in time, if we're patient, it may be revealed to us. The truth may become real to us. It may appear to us, oh, that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. What God was doing is giving me a better job, closer to work, to homes, with more money and more pay and less trouble. Amen. Rejection is only God's redirection. But we have to trust him. And sometimes at the time it's hard. It's hard. It doesn't make sense. It's painful. It's a struggle. But this is what he says in Revelation 1:8. You know who's speaking here? It's Jesus. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It's Jesus speaking here. If you go into Revelation chapter 1, it's Jesus who says he is the Almighty. He is the one who was and is to come. There is nobody else. He is the first and the last. So I'm so glad that I belong to him. I'm so glad that he is my friend. Amen. Now, again, we may say, well, why doesn't he fix everything for us? You know, I'm in a pickle. I'm in trouble right now. Just be patient. God has a plan. He may be wanting to teach us a lesson. And I don't mean a lesson to our hurt, but a lesson to our benefit. And when we will just humble ourselves under his direction, it'll come out in the end. It'll all work out to our good. Isn't that what it says in Romans 8:28? And we know. That's the key part. It's the three words at the beginning. What does it say? It means you believe. If you say you know something, that's like a fact. I know. I'm not imagining. I'm not guessing. I know. I know that all things work together. Because you know what? He's done it so many times for me. So many times. Despite me. Despite my bad decisions. Despite my reckless choices sometimes, despite my flesh wanting to try and fix things myself. And I know all things work together for good. Amen. So I want to explore a little bit deeper the oneness of God and his nature, even before he created anything. Before God created anything, what was there? What existed before God created anything? Him, right? Before God created anything, there was only him. He was everything. And here's a revelation. He still is. He still is everything. Now, the Bible speaks about God as being light. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means God does not change. In fact, a good portion of what I was teaching yesterday to the PI students was that God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. And I tried to explain how that could be, because when you read the Old Testament, it doesn't seem like it's the same God if you don't read with the understanding. It doesn't seem that way, because it seems that, you know, God is so harsh. Every sin is death. But when you understand what God is doing, when you actually see who is actually doing it, it becomes clear. But the Bible tells us that God is light. God is love. Amen. Revelation 21:23. That's why in the New Jerusalem, there will not be a sun or a moon. Now, how that will work, I don't know. But if you've ever been into a place where you can't actually see the light, but there's light, you know, they have the lights reflected on the ceiling, so you don't see the light, but there's all light around. That's how it will be, because the Bible tells us, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's in the New Jerusalem. So the nature of God is that he is light. He is not darkness. There is no darkness in God, in Jesus. Amen. Let's look on. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, you know what it says? No man. In other words, no Adam, no son of man can see. But you know how we can see him? If we become not a man, but a son of God. Because a son of God knows the Father. A son of man can't come. If you're just Adam in the flesh, you cannot come before God. But the Bible says those that are filled with the Spirit, to them he gave power to become a son of God. Amen. And the Spirit is what we need to be able to approach God. Amen. So I want to explore this, and this may be a little bit a science lesson today, but I want to explore the nature of light. Because when you look at a white light, it is actually not made up of just one thing. In the 1600s, they invented the prism, you know, that triangular piece of glass, and they found out when they shone white light through it, it split into different colors. So the properties of light, of course, is how bright it is, and the frequency tells us its color. The higher the frequency, it tends to make it the light blue. The lower the frequency, it makes it red. And I'm not going to read all of that, but what they found out is that light, pure white light, is actually not made of one thing. It is made of, comprised of many colors, and those colors combine to make light. So when we're looking at something, what are you actually seeing when you look at me? If I was to turn off the lights and it was pitch black in here, could you see me? No. So it's the light that allows you to see me. And how does the light allow you to see me? Well, the light is coming from somewhere, and it hits me, and it's reflected. And what you're seeing is not the direct light. You're seeing the reflection, right? And if the light up there was white, which is nearly is pure, you know, it's a yellow light. But when you look at me, you're not seeing yellow. You're seeing all these different colors. You're seeing a black tie, a white shirt, my brown skin, my brown eyes, my somewhat black hair, used to be. Not quite now. So what you're seeing when you see me is a reflection. You're not actually seeing me. You're seeing the colors that my body, my hair, my shirt reflect. You understanding where I'm going with this? You're not actually seeing the me. You're seeing the colors that are reflected from the due to the white light. So the white light is hitting me, and some of the colors that are in the light are absorbed. What's left is what is being emitted, and that's what you're seeing. Amen. So when we go outside and we look at a blue sky, the reason why we're seeing it blue is because the atmosphere is absorbing all the other colors. So a picture is created not by generating colors, but by subtracting. It's what's left is what's reflected. Now, I know this is deep and profound, but I'll say it slowly. I'll say it slowly. When you're looking at a color picture, what you're seeing is what's left of the light that has not been absorbed. So something that is black is something that is absorbing all of the colors. Something that is white is something that is reflecting all of the colors. So what that means is for a picture, for something to be colorful, you've got to have something that is reflecting different parts of the spectrum. So I said all of that because I wanted to explain something about God and his nature. Remember what it says about God, that he is light. He is light. And in the beginning, before there was anything else, there was God, because he is from everlasting past to everlasting in the future. So let's remember that. Psalms 104 verse 2 says, "Who coverest thyself with light." That's why on the Mount of Transfiguration, when they looked at Jesus, when he unveiled himself, in fact, they couldn't even look. It was so bright. The Bible said his raiment turned as white as a fuller's soap. That means as much as they could bleach anything in those days, his raiment was so brilliant, they couldn't look at him because he revealed his true nature. Psalms 104 verse 2 says, "Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain." So now, what I was trying to tell you is for you to see anything, something has to be subtracted from the light. Because if nothing is subtracted from the light, you know what you get reflected back? White. So for there to be a picture, something has to be taken out of the light for there to be a color. Are you following me? Okay, this is going to be deep, so pay attention. Pay attention. When you see a color, when you see a picture, what's happening is that the light, some of the light is being subtracted, and what is left is what's being reflected. So now, remember, God is light. So how does God create? So as I said, to create a picture from light, frequencies, colors have to be filtered. They have to be subtracted. Because the white light is all of the colors. It contains everything. And if it just gave you back the same as it was, all you would see, you would be blinded, basically. You'd be blinded because all you would see would be one color, which is the mixture, which is white. So for there to be a picture, let me say it again, for you to see any information, for anything to be created that you can see, the beautiful pictures that you see, when you go out and you go out and you look at a beach, what is happening is that something actually is being subtracted to allow what remains to paint the picture. So for there to be a picture from that white, a whole bunch of colors had to be subtracted. And now suddenly we can see something created. We can see something created because something has been subtracted to produce different colors and different information. Before, if I went backwards, that's what it would be if it was just the white, if it was just the pure white. But to create the picture, some of the colors have to be subtracted so that something can be created. You following me so far? It's got to be subtracted. So now let's go back to what God says about him, the nature of God. I am light. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. See, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going somewhere with this. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have, he's saying, you too shall have the light of life. In John 12:35, he goes on to say, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Verse 36, while he have light, believe in the light, that he may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now, let me contrast that with something that is black. Can you create a picture from anything that is black? No. The only way you can create a picture with something that is already black is you have to add something. Let me give you the contrast. With light, you have to subtract something. With something that's black, to create a picture, you have to add something to it because it's already absorbing everything that there is. So for something that is totally black, you have to add something. For something that is totally white, you have to subtract something. Okay, now hold those thoughts in your mind. So what I'm trying to tell you is that for God to create him being totally light, the only way he could create was he had to subtract something from himself. He had to limit himself in order to create. This is what the Bible says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. So for God to come to earth as a man, guess what he had to do? He had to subtract from his glory, from his deity, from his power, so he could squeeze a little bit of himself in something that was walking around in flesh. Do you understand? And this is what Philippians 2:5 is saying. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Here's the subtraction. But made himself, let's say this together, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. God, the omnipotent, all-powerful God, limited himself, subtracted, who only dwelleth in light, subtracted himself so he could come into the form of a human man. And I want to take that much further. Do you understand? For you to create, you also have to subtract from yourself. We have to humble ourselves. Yes, we have the right. It says he had the right, who being in the form of God, he had every right to be God, but he subtracted himself so that he could come as a human being. for you also, if you have the Spirit in you, for you to be able to create and be active in God's will, you too have to subtract from your flesh. For people to see an image that is anything but either darkness or all blinding. You understand what I'm saying? You too have to learn to subtract and humble ourselves. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. Imagine the creator of this universe taking a bowl and washing his creation's feet. That's what I'm talking about, subtracting from himself. The God of this, there are kings who have people bathe them. They don't even touch their own body. And yet the God of this universe, to create something, the church, subtracted from himself. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That was a great subtraction. Let's put it in a modern translation. But did empty himself. That's what I'm telling you. That's what it says in a Young's literal translation of Philippians 2 verse 7 says, but did empty himself. That's the subtraction, that God could become man. That's the only way he could create. If he came down here as a blinding light, the Bible says no man can see him. We could not look upon his glory. But he had to subtract himself and darken the picture, so to speak, in the form of putting on human flesh so that we could see him, so that he could operate in this world, so that he could be touched, so that he could suffer. Because God can't suffer. God can't. So he had to subtract from himself to allow himself to be subject to pain. Here's what it says in Young's literal translation. But did empty himself, the form of a servant having taken. You know, if I was Jesus, it'd be so easy to go around zapping people I didn't like. So you think you're going to throw me off of a cliff? You got another thing coming. Psh, there you go. I throw you all off of a cliff. But that's not what he came to do. Let me ask you, is that what we came to do too? No. If we want to be great, the Bible said, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you abase yourself, in time God will exalt you. That's the only way we can create, is to do what our Father did. He subtracted from himself. That's the only way you get a picture from light, is something has to be subtracted. But did empty himself, the form of a servant having taken, in the likeness of men having been made, and in fashion having been found as a man, he, God of the universe, humbled himself, having become obedient unto death, death even of the cross. Let me go back to darkness, and I want to show you something. And this is why Satan has an issue, Sister Regina. Isn't that funny? They call themselves the Rainbow Coalition. But they can't actually put it back together to form the light. They can't actually put it together to form the light. I'm sure deep down that's what Satan would like to do. The Bible says transforming himself into an angel of light. But here's his true nature. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So let me show you what I'm talking about. If you have a completely black canvas, the only way you're going to make a picture is you're going to have to add to it. Do you understand that the Bible says we were in darkness? We were in darkness, and it was only by Jesus adding to us to bring us into his marvelous light. So what can you see in darkness? Anything? No. If it was dark outside and I turned off all the lights in here, we'd be going like this. If you want to close your eyes for a minute, you know, you ever try to navigate with your eyes closed anywhere? You're going to stumble around. Here's what Isaiah said. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. You see, because of sin, the glory that Adam had died. And so we were going to die. We were destined for the Bible says here, the shadow of death. But because of God coming down, upon them hath the light shined. That's why we can be seen spiritually, because instead of reflecting nothing, which is darkness, absorbing it, once we have the Holy Spirit in us, amen, we should be able to present a picture, an image of Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 42:7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Jesus, talking about the Pharisees, he said, if the blind lead the blind, everybody falls in the ditch. Everybody falls in the ditch. What can Satan create? What can darkness create? That's it. All he can do is spread more darkness. But he can't create anything. Darkness cannot create. You need light to have colors. That's why at night, because of the less light, we can only kind of start to see in black and white, because the first thing that goes after the light starts to fade is the color sensitivity of your eye. So darkness cannot create. And I'm going to show you that. In 2 Corinthians 4, let me show you what he does. He blinds. 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded. If he blinds, what do you see? Darkness. Do you see the opposite here? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the good news of Christ, who is the image. How do you get an image? What do you need for an image? Do you understand the connection with light, what I'm trying to show? You can't even have an image if there's not light. You can't even have an image if there isn't a light shining. Who is the image of God? And that image should shine unto them. So darkness cannot create something. Light has to be added to the darkness. And that's what Jesus did. The Bible said he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Something light has to be added to be able to see. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Imagine if we believed what we're reading here. I know we read it, but we don't believe it because we don't act as if we are. If we actually believed it, we'd hold our head up a little bit higher. We would be less upset about things. Because I would know, listen, you know, I told my wife yesterday, I was sorry. I was very sorry for a particular person because I love them, but they're not changing. And although they are saying harsh things about me, I'm not mad at them. Honestly, I'm not mad. I'm sorry for them. I really am. I really am sorry because I can see where they are, and they can't even see where they are. I'm praying God helps them. I really, even though I know that they're saying all kinds of negative things about me, because I know who I am. They don't define who I am. He defines who I am. He defines who you are. And if the glorious light of the gospel has shined into your heart, does it matter that this poor person is saying all kinds of negative things? I'm a child of the King. I am blessed and highly favored. They're not going anywhere. They'll be in the same place 10 years from now, if not worse, if it's not for God's mercy. I am actually I'm praying God, please God help them, because they're headed for disaster. So if you really know who you are, you can have mercy and have love even to your despisers. Because you see what God has blessed you with. And you know who you are because you're walking in light. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have what?
Fellowship.
If I have fellowship with him, it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying or doing or acting. I'm still going to smile sweetly and say, God is love. See, I believe it. I believe it when I say I'm blessed and highly favored. I believe it because he has done it over and over and over and over. You know, I preached a message a long time ago. It says you either fall down now or bow down later. By that, I mean you either humble yourself now before God or he commands you to fall down and bow. Because it says every knee shall bow. So it doesn't matter who's exalting themselves right now. It doesn't matter who's exalting themselves right now. And that's why I know you all think I'm super strange. I don't like trying to exalt myself because that's a dangerous road. He does it. He does it. I don't have to do it. Amen. See, we've been called out of darkness. If you've been called out of darkness, you don't have to worry about anybody else. Psalms 119, famous, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what the word is doing? It's showing you. That means it's shining the light and it's subtracting some things so it doesn't blind you. Because, you know, you still can't walk if it was blinding white light. Darkness will stop you walking, but so will a light shine full brightness in your face. So you know what God does? He doesn't do that. He has subtracted himself. And so that he could relate to us in the form of Jesus Christ. If God came down here right now, we'd all die. That's why when the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai, they said, no, it's okay, Moses, you go up there and speak to him, because they saw the thunder, the lightning, the eruption, the fire, the smoke, the earthquakes, and they said, ooh, okay, we'll stay back a mile or two. You see, so God is so merciful. He doesn't come to you in his blinding bright light, but he comes to us in the form of Jesus. And today in the church, he comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded. Do you know when God says, let there be, the only answer is? Let me test you again. When God says, let there be, the only answer is? And it was so. Now, I want you to listen to this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So if every time God says, let there be, the only answer is, and it was so, do you understand that the only answer that God has commanded that light should be shining from us? If he emptied himself, what we're supposed to do, so that his image can shine through us. Let me show you how I believe God created. Remember I said in the beginning, that's all there was. If that was the whole universe, that's all there was. Just symbolically, I'm showing you this. So in the beginning, Jesus in John said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. And the Bible also tells us that the I am is light. And not only that, but the I am is all. Before he created anything else, that's all there was light. So remember what I said, for God to create, he had to subtract. He had to withdraw himself to make something other than himself. So I'm just going to represent this to kind of give you a symbolically how God did it. In the beginning, God had to withdraw himself. And so what does the Bible say? There was an area of darkness. If to create something that was not himself, God had to withdraw himself. And because of that, there must have been an area of darkness where he withdrew himself. And that's exactly what the scripture says. And the earth was without form and void. You ask, where did the darkness came from? In the process of creation, God had to subtract himself. He had to limit himself in order for there to be something other than just himself. You following me? Let me say it again. In the beginning, there was just that. For God to create something that was other than himself, he had to withdraw himself. And if he withdrew himself, that left what? Darkness. That's what it says. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. He had to limit himself to create a space in which he was going to create something. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that's what it says in Genesis. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then he said, let there be light. So what he had to do was limit himself in the space he created to absorb some of the light so that there could be a creation. So when you look at a planet, what you're seeing is God limiting himself to create what you see. I hope you're following that. Because you can only see something that is limiting or subtracting some of the colors. You follow what I'm saying? Go study it on your own later. We'll put it up on the internet. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So in subtracting himself, he created something. And that process continued. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then what did he do? He gave them dominion. You know what he was doing? Subtracting himself. He was subtracting himself. If I gave you dominion, it came from who? Me. That means I subtracted my power to give you the ability to choose. He could have made us all slaves. But because he wanted you to love him, to know him, because he treated you as a child, not as a servant, he subtracted himself. So now, the nature, though, of the flesh that he created, and I said this in the very first lesson, I talked about when Solomon built the temple, the most fantastic building built by human hands, inlaid with gold, beautiful, took years to build. In his prayer, he said, could God, because Solomon knew a thing or two, he said, could God dwell in anything built by human hands? And I answered the question, no. They that labor in vain, except the Lord build a house. You have to let him build you. You have to subtract so he can let his light shine through you. The same way that the sun was built. Look at this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now people look at that scripture and say, well, that proves that Jesus and the Father are not the same being. The Son does not know what the Father knows. Well, I beg to differ, and I'll give you the explanation. Remember what I said at the beginning. In order to incarnate into a body, what did I say he had to do? In Philippians, he said he emptied himself. Emptied himself. Now, if you empty yourself of something, you can't still have that something. Can you? But that doesn't mean you're two people, right? That doesn't mean you're two people. If you empty your house of some treasure, suppose you have a house full of notes, and you empty your house full of notes. You're still the same person with the same house, but you don't have the notes in there. Because that's exactly what God did, because a human flesh cannot contain the infinity that is God. You following me? But the Bible does tell us it contains all of God that can be possible in a human body. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What it's saying is the infinite God cannot be put in a finite body. But the finite body contained all that could be put. Do you follow what I'm saying? So Jesus is all the God that could be put in a fleshly body. And that's all the simple explanation. Not that he's a separate God or anything else, but he is all that God could squeeze into a fleshly body. Isn't that awesome? Because we read in Philippians, he had to empty himself and take on the form of a servant. You know what he emptied himself of? The glory, the Shekinah glory. So Jesus is the express image of the invisible God, because he's all that could be put in a fleshly container. And he had to come as a son. He had to be born. And so as the human part of him grew, more of God could be put in him. That's why it says, and the child grew. To be a human, he had to grow. If he just came fully born, fully formed, he wouldn't have been human in the sense of experiencing what you and I experience. Because some of our worst times was growing up, wasn't it? Wasn't some of your worst times, now you're old, you filtered all out some of the bad times, but you can remember not wanting to go to school. There were some bullies there, or some people picking on you, or some people saying stuff about you. Some of our worst times was that growing up period. Who wants to go back to their teenage years? Some of them may say, yeah, I'll do better this time. Okay, so you'll make a different bad choice. That's all you do. You'd make a different bad choice. That's all would happen. So we see that the flesh, Jesus, was the fullness, the Bible says, of the Godhead bodily, because he emptied himself to present something that could be put in a fleshly body. Because if he came in his Shekinah glory, the Bible says, no man at any time had seen God. Even Moses, just glimpsing the behind part, when he came down from the mountain, he glowed. He glowed so much he had to wear a veil because he was scaring people. You know, you'd probably all run out of here if I came up here and I started to glow real bright, that you had to look at me. What's happening to Pastor? Well, one of these days, that's exactly what's going to happen. The Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. We're going to get back that Shekinah glory. Amen. Jesus, returning near the end where he was about to be arrested, he longed to be able to get out of this fleshly body. Here's what he says. And now, O Father, speaking to the Spirit, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before. Again, showing that he had divested himself of some of the Shekinah glory so that he could fit in a human body. But he's saying, listen, all right, my time, I've done the work that you gave me. The Spirit gave me. I fulfilled what the Spirit wanted. I'm gonna reassume and take back my glory. For creation from darkness, as I said, something had to be added. Because we were in darkness, something had to be added. You know what it was? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God commanded the light, that is the Holy Spirit, to shine forth from us. From us. We just had the beginning of the light. The little candle's been lit, but one day it's going to explode when God gives us that new body. This body can't contain the glory either. That's the point. Just as how Jesus could not, his body physically could not contain the glory. We can't yet handle it. We have to wait for that new body, but the Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall arise first, and we that remain shall be changed. Amen. I'll look all young again. You look all young again. I'll lose all this gut again. Amen. Jesus gave a preview on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the glory, now here's my proof. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. How? So that we all may be one. One God. One Lord. One baptism. Ephesians 6. Do you see that? We've only got the earnest, but we're also going to experience that glory. You see, we are going to be returning to that image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are going to be changed into the same image from glory to glory. Whatever you're going through right now is not to be compared, the Bible says. Not to be compared. Remember who you are. Remember where you've been called from. Remember what God has promised you. Can God lie? It's what the Bible says, that it is impossible for God to lie. And he has said, according to Paul, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Does that mean we won't feel alone? Jesus felt alone. Yes, there will be times when in our flesh we feel like, I give up. I can't manage this. It's too much. Because that's what the accuser of the brethren does. He comes to depress and destroy and to cheat and to steal your inheritance. Esau gave up. I'm about to die. What does it matter about my birthright if I die? Come on, give me some food. And he sold his birthright for just some food. He wasn't going to die. You know, many times we think we're going to die, but we're not going to die. We can make it. We need to gird up our loins. That's what the scripture says. The Bible says, when you have done all to stand, stand. Stand. Don't let the devil cheat your inheritance for some little short-term morsel of food. The Bible said, when he would have inherited, he gave it up. Oh, I'm about to die. I don't know, years and years and years and years ago, they had this comedian called Red Fox. And he was always, oh, I'm about to die. Don't know if any of you remember that. I'm about to die. And the devil will make you feel like you're about to die. But the Bible says, gird up your loins. Tighten up your belt. Stand in the evil day. Because don't give away your inheritance for something that is only temporary. You know, don't let the devil steal your inheritance. Because he has promised. He's more than promised. The Bible says he's commanded the light to shine. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it again because it's so important. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in Genesis 1, if you believe that he commanded and he said, let there be light, and there was light, hath shined also in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where do we find the light of the knowledge of the glory of God? When we look at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So that's why there's only one God. There's no room for any other. He says, I create light. I form the darkness. Because he did. The only way God could have created was to withdraw himself. So when it says he forms the darkness, he did it by withdrawing himself so that he could create something. You understand? In Isaiah 45, verse 7, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. In Hebrew, that word is echad, and it means a unity, not three, not two, but one. That's why Jesus in John, I think, 12:44 said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the light of the world. Once we let that light shine, we can create something. Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. There shall be one Lord, and his name, one. Not two, not three, one. I'm wrapping this up, but just to show you about the glory and the light. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah had a vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. He only saw one person, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Jumping down to verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Right? Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus in the New Testament said, you know who Isaiah saw? He saw me. John 12:37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, that's Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's the question today. I've shown you so many scriptures about who you're supposed to be, who God has called you to be, who God has declared you to be. But do you believe? If you believe, you'll be able to let go of some of these things. You will. because you'll know who you are. You'll have comfort. You'll have a smile. You'll have some joy if you believe. If you don't believe, you'll stay there miserable. But if you believe who you are, I am the child of the King. Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 39. Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded. Now, when it says he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, I believe that's Satan, not God. That they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. It goes on to say, these things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Who did he speak of? It was Jesus. Amen. If you could stand with me. In the beginning. Well, the light is broken up into seven primary colors. White light breaks up into seven primary colors, okay, the spectrum. What I was going to show you, though, the spectrum of light, what we see, those seven colors, is about this much of the total. We only see, what we see, the seven colors, or the millions of variations, is about this much of the infinity of the, what they call the electromagnetic spectrum. That's all we can see. The Bible says we see as through a glass darkly, but one day we shall know as we are known. That's why John, that's why Paul, when he got a glimpse of heaven, they couldn't put it in English. They couldn't write it down. He said he saw things that were too marvelous to speak. They saw colors that you can't name. John says streets of gold like clear crystal. How can you have gold that's clear crystal? Well, he's trying to describe things that are not in our language. But here's the great thing. One day, he that endureth to the end, the same. Instead of saying the same, say me, shall be saved. Come on, let's say it again. Point to yourself. One day you're going to see it for yourself. I don't want to preach, but you know what Job said? He said, even though the skin worms devour my body, one day in my flesh, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and one day I shall see him with my own eyes for myself. Even though maybe I'm going to die right now, one day I believe in a resurrection. Even if I die, one day I'm going to see my Redeemer. I'm going to see my Redeemer. I really pray God would give each of us just a glimpse, 10 seconds of heaven. 10 seconds of heaven would fix you for the rest of your life. You would never care about anything else. You would say, okay, I've seen now. See, but you know what Jesus said to Thomas? Blessed are those who believe, having not. You believe, Thomas, because you've seen me. You've been able to look at the holes in my hands. But rather, more blessed are those who will believe, having not seen. So we may not have seen Jesus with the holes, but if we will believe, the Bible says that faith comes not by seeing, but by hearing. And if you have listened to the words that I have spoken, not myself, but the words that come from Scripture, if you will believe them today, that promise of blessing applies to you. You can hold your head a little bit higher and pray for some of these other people who are still blinded. They're still in darkness. The God of this world hath blinded them that they should not see the glorious light. They're blinded. Pray that God heals them, opens their eyes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, and I'll end with this, was life, and that life was the light of men. Hallelujah. Amen. If you could bow your hearts with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, let it be anointed, let it touch, let it uplift, let it build faith, let it edify. We thank you for all you're doing, Lord. Lord God, strengthen us, oh God, that we will be able to endure. Having not seen, yet we believe, oh God, that you have a future, that you have plans for our life. Lord, let not the devil steal this word, but we worship you, we thank you, we lift you up, and we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, because you have blessed us and seated us in heavenly places. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah! You are still blessed and highly favored. Believe it. God bless you. We will start our second service at 15:15. Greet our visitors. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.